A warm welcome from Amsterdam, and thanks for tuning in to a new episode of Game Consultant. Your host of today is Reinout.
It is Sunday, June the 28th, and welcome to Game Consultant. Quite a week. We had Donald Trump saying like, hey, I'm going to stop all immigration. Very nice. That was sarcastic, of course. The Entertainment Software Association right away said like, hey, a freeze is not good. And I agree. I think getting talent from abroad can actually educate your own workforce. That counts for every country. So not sure where this will lead to, but I'm intrigued how he could come with this kind of decision exactly in this kind of period where we are. The talks about racism, diversity, like Microsoft is spending $150 million on diversity. During my interview with Nicholas today of GameBuddy and streaming, game streaming, esports, I'm talking about it. I find it, up to 225 as a company, you spend $150 million. Few observations I have. I mean, Microsoft is from original and a U.S. company. So weren't they diverse with their human capital, the employees? And why not? And so now they have to do something. Is that because the pressure is on? And then they're going to spend 150 up to 225. And so what will happen after 225? Shouldn't that be in their DNA as usual? Some questions. Twitch also mentioned that they will issue permanent suspension to abusive accounts. And sometimes it even goes across the line of being criminal. So they will also inform authorities if that's the case. Newzoo is predicting that there are more than 3 billion gamers by 2023. It's always a nice figure, but we all know it's growing. 5G gaming is the fundament for game streaming. That topic we didn't cover today in the interview, but it's interesting to read that article on my blog. Women in gaming, and they speak out now. Sexism and harassment, and it's ludicrous that that's still happening. And women that have come forward were actually being harassed and hacked. It needs to stop, and it's good that they're actually talking about it right now. So I'm very happy that I have Nicholas today talking about GameBuddy, where it's coming from, the ideas behind it. As said, we're talking about streaming in general. And I also did a sanity check to see if my son, Sebastian, is normal with 3 screens while he's playing. Well, he's normal. Thank you for that. So let's kick it off. First, we're going to have Chris with his rethinks. He's back. And after that, the interview with Nicholas of GameBuddy. Let's do this.
Welcome back into another Rethinks. For those that don't know, the esports scene I probably follow the most is Smash Melee, mostly because of my brother. He's at Reeve on Twitch, and at Reeve is me on Twitter. He's a Marth main. He's sitting around, top 75, top 50 in the world if they did rankings for this year. And the other reason is it was just one of my favorite games growing up. But I love following the space, love going back and watching the history of it over the years. It's a scene that's been around for 2 decades. So it's got a lot of rich history, and it's just really cool to see how far it's come. But there was a really significant news that came out this week, and I'm going to read a few points from an Engadget article real quick. New features have dropped for Super Smash Bros. Melee via Project Slippy, a mod that brings a 2001 GameCube game online. Now the game has rollback netcode, integrated matchmaking, auto updates, and replays. It's designed for play using Dolphin, a PC emulator for playing GameCube games. The newest updates are meant to ensure the smoothest online play experience possible. Rollback netcode cuts down a possible lag. A matchmaking feature will also find you opponents, including players in other continents. Replays of your games will automatically be saved in bite-sized files, according to the Slippy website. So previously, Netplay, the online play experience was, for to throw a technical term out there, pretty awful. And I've just talked to my brother all the of the experience he's had over the years with it. And he think, you know, I've talked to him so much about it, and that it really kind of held the scene back from other, obviously, online gameplays and the discrepancy between the two, between the different titles. And this is a really important step forward to have this type of online gameplay available, because that's going to potentially create a network effect of new players and also old players. So when this news came out, you've seen a lot of older players on Twitter that are saying they're coming back to the scene that kind of fell away. So I think it's going to kind of inject some new life into the scene. And then those that obviously follow Melee, you know, we've talked about this for a long time, and I've talked to my brother a lot about this, but you know, Nintendo does not back this scene at all. In fact, they've tried to kind of diminish the scene in some ways, which I won't get into. So all this is community backed. This is done by the community, and this is again going on 2 decades of a community being built from the grassroots. Look, it's, you know, Smash Melee is not a top tier esport by any means. You know, Genesis, for example, had over 100,000 concurrent peak viewers. Early, I think it was early in January. So the viewership is there, and it was down from last year, from 2018 Genesis, or yeah, I'm sorry, 2019 Genesis. But you know, I just think that this is a significant step for the community to have this, and just all the conversations I have with my brother and kind of where he sees it going. He said this week was the most significant news in Smash Melee history. So, again, I say under the radar. If you follow Smash, you obviously understand how huge this news is. But if you don't, you know, I think it's an esport that's very overlooked in many ways. So it may have come in under the radar, but I did want to mention this because it's something that I follow pretty closely. So I'd like to hear what your thoughts are. Feel free to reach out to me on LinkedIn. You can catch me at Chris Reed, CRISREED. Also on Twitter at TheLevelUpEXP. Again, that's at TheLevelUpEXP. Let me know what you think about Smash Melee, what you think about the rollback netcode, and how you think this new online play will help the community in the future. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you all on the next one.
Thank you, Chris. Nice to have you back. Yeah, as I said, Joachim has a holiday break. I'm still working and checking on one or two other people that could do some very nice items. One actually got an overheat Mac, so he said, sorry, well, for now, you're good, but next week, deliver me an item. You know, I'm talking about you. So let's get to it. Streaming, esports, Game Buddy. Let's have that interview with Niklas.
It was a week where we actually said goodbye to Mixer. I'm wondering what Ninja will do. Will he stay with Mixer or not? Some people are saying no, he's not going over and jump over to Facebook. If I were him, I would actually enjoy the $30 million that he got, because that's apparently what he made. But also there was a lot of stuff about abusive language against women, some female streamers, influencers actually started to Twitter about it. It's everything that we already know. It's online. It's also on the schoolyard. But today we're talking about streaming. And I posted a few articles about some streaming platforms, which is all nice. But in the end, it comes down to engagement. And a couple of months ago, I had a very nice chat with Niklas. And Niklas is the CEO, founder of GameBuddy.gg. And yeah, we got to talk about ideas that he had behind, well, actually the business model of GameBuddy. And I felt, I had another interview ready for today, but then I felt like, hey, in the light of all the news of this last week, I wanted to get his feel about what the industry is going through. But also it positions right away his company, because in a way, he might actually have an answer to negative vibes, negative talks, negative ways of communicating with each other, amongst each other. And if Twitch already is going to suspend a lot of people because of abusive language, and even to the point where they going to authorities to mention that you have violated and therefore are criminal. Yeah, it is an issue. So, well, what about that for an intro, Niklas?
It was one hell of an intro. Hi.
Yeah, let's. Well, then, first of all, I basically said something about, yeah, well, you want to make it more fun. As you say, it's interactive and entertaining esports, because, yeah, you're leaning towards esports, but then streaming. Let's make everyone pretty clear what Game Buddy is all about.
Yeah. So basically with Game Buddy, we are all for entertaining and interactive esports or interactive streaming. So right now, for example, we're building the first interactive esports league, in which viewers can directly decide what happens in the game. So we have live challenges that viewers can suggest to streamers and to teams. And the teams then have to do these challenges in order to rank up in the league and be the best team in the league. So the viewers are basically empowered to control what's happening in the esport games. And they can also support their teams a little bit by suggesting challenges that are fitting for them.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool. So we basically create this two-way interaction that is right now not there for most of the cases, because, yeah, we have a chat in Twitch or in streaming, but mostly the chat is used to spam emotes or to express bad behavior, as you just mentioned. So it's not quite serving the purpose, and we thought that we can do something about it.
It's funny. Maybe I'm making a complete stupid statement here, but I was actually on a webinar, and the audio was not that good, so people started to type, and then I had to answer, and then in the meantime I had to look at the questions. It's like, give me a break! I was just still at the first answer and already had 14 questions.
Yeah.
And my son was now for the first time streaming on Twitch, and I actually saw people talking to him, and I wondered, like, how does he actually play games and still watch it? Well, he's 11 and obviously multitasking much better than his old part. But but still, I was like, holy crap. I can see how that's actually pretty difficult. But so how did you guys come up? I mean, you have a founder team. You have some investors. I mean, can you tell a little bit more about that background, how you came together, how you get the first investors?
Yeah. So basically it all started from a slightly different idea, which was a social network for gamers. So basically a place where people can talk about their experiences and find new people to play with. Yeah. And we started that network out of our studies with three passionate gamers ourselves, and all having a technical background. We were able to start it pretty easily.
Yeah.
And then we were also having quite some success in user traction. So with our network, we acquired about 180,000 users without spending much on marketing or anything like that.
Yeah.
So that was really cool. So, and we really solved the problem, because people were using it to find people to play with. But what was actually not working there was the business model behind it. It was just not effective. Because the main usage was finding friends to play with, and you also have friends lists in the game, we kind of kill our own users, if you want it that way.
Yeah.
So basically, if we are very successful and find a lot of friends for you, you don't need us anymore. And that's not the basis of a good business model.
Yeah.
So we were testing out with many things that lead to users staying in the platform. And one of these things were challenges that you can play on your games. And what we found out there is basically that these challenges combined with watching others do them leads to huge engagement. And then we were like very interested about this metric and were doing interviews with many streamers, with many users, and then decided to pivot the company.
Got it. And that's what it is today? Or did you alter along the way? Well, not negative, but again, or?
We kind of shifted the focus a little bit. We first started with streamers as individuals only. But now also added the tournament environment behind it, because we found out that this works even better in terms of challenges, because you really have to do them in order to be first in the tournament.
Yeah.
And also you don't have people trying to say to you what to do 24/7. So it's a little bit less annoying than it is on a 24/7 basis.
So in a practical way, I'm a gamer. I'm not noticing you're there. You're basically integrated within the game, or are you integrated within the platform?
We're kind of integrated into both. So we're integrated into Twitch. We have a Twitch extension, and we're also working with the Twitch chat and with a second screen solution, so that basically your viewers on Twitch that you already created, like, it's very hard to create a community, right? So you don't have to switch a platform in order to use us. You can just use us with your existing community. And then you download an application that tracks the in-game data in order to suggest challenges that are fitting and also validate them in the real-time context.
Yeah, got it. So what I was reading, actually, you have the 3 points that you basically highlight from the model, and that is the votes.
Yep.
That is the one game, many challenges, and that is live data tracking. So let me start with the first two. Maybe you can explain that, because data tracking is something that is not directly for a gamer, I think, interesting, but more for third party or whatever. But we can talk that later.
Yep.
So votes, basically, tell me more about the voting system.
Yeah. So basically, you can think of it as a round-based system. So viewers have a certain amount of time to vote for a challenge, and we suggest 3 challenges that are fitting to the game context, that are not harassing or anything like that, and that are also fun to watch. And people then have 1 minute to vote for the challenge. And basically, after this one minute, the most voted challenge will be played. In the tournament context, this challenge will be played by both teams. So the teams basically have one thing that they have to play around, and that also enables completely new strategies and very, very funny interactions as well. So, for example, last weekend, we just hosted a big, big Valorant tournament with streamers. And there, one of the most favorite challenges, for example, was the anti-social distancing challenge, where all players had to run around in a close group and were basically facing each other 5 versus 5 once they saw each other. And that was super funny to watch. And also created completely different strategies around the game that were not there before.
Yeah, got it. And so basically the challenges, everyone can come up with a challenge and most votes win. Is it as simple as I say? I mean,
It's basically like you don't come up with a challenge. So we have an algorithm that suggests challenges that are fitting. So you are not free to give your own challenge in, for example. But basically every viewer has a vote each round. And if you want to ensure that one challenge that you really want to see is being played, then you can also use microtransactions to buy additional votes to guarantee that this challenge is being played.
Got it. Hey, and then the data.
Yeah.
Because to me, I find that interesting. That's the boring part. everyone can now actually get a cup of coffee.
We will try to make it quick.
Yeah. You got 1 minute 30. Okay,
yeah,
tell me. What do you do with the data? How do you get the data? What do you do with the data? And why is it so interesting?
Yeah. Like, it's interesting in many, many different ways. They can be leveraged in for many partners, as you already mentioned. And for us, it's also very interesting to see how games go. So we use the in-game data in order to understand the games a little better, to suggest challenges that are more fitting to the game context. And as I said, it's also super interesting because we're able to validate them in a live context. So a challenge averages a length of maybe 2 to 3 minutes, and it's being validated within seconds after it's over or after the win condition is being met. And that's super interesting for the viewer as well, because it's highly interactive. It's not like I vote for a challenge at the beginning of the game and then I don't do anything anymore. but I basically have every 3 minutes I have something to say about the game, and that's what it's making fun as well.
Yeah, got it. So then more to the industry itself. I'm when I read a bit through your one pager,
yep.
I was, well, you say something about entertainment, you say esports, and you say streaming. Are you an esports company? Can I say that? Are you in the business of esports, or are you in the business of streaming? Or is it esports streaming? Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of esports streaming, maybe. But I would definitely say that we are focusing on the esports part at the moment.
Yeah. Yeah. So the games are esports related.
Yes.
And bottom line, the streamers, who could be potential pro professional gamers, they're basically can use your platform.
Exactly.
So you have the integration with Twitch. So that's all done. So bottom line, the streamer. So is the streamer actually is your client, right? I mean, they're the ones that sign up. You want to make money? Make money off your fans? You want to engage with your fans? How does that work?
Yeah, the streamer is kind of our one side of the marketplace, if you want to call it a marketplace.
Yeah.
So basically, we have the streamer as one side, and then we have the viewer as the other side. And the cool thing is that the streamers bring the viewers with them. So we just have to care about one side of the marketplace, which is a good thing to overcome the chicken egg problem.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Because that's so some of your streamers. I'm seeing actually here now on your site, Medicast, Dudu, Will, Shadowed.
Yeah.
Those are just regular people that sort of sign up, or how does it?
Exactly. So we basically just contact streamers and say, hey, we have this super awesome solution. It makes your viewers engaged more, and we also help you to monetize your content. And then they just sign up and use it. That's basically how it goes. And for the tournament, the tournament I was mentioning from last weekend, it was in the German-speaking region, and we basically had every second German-speaking streamer that's relevant for Valorant. Nice. So that was immense. Like when you watched Valorant on the German page and you browsed through the streamers there, you only saw people streaming in our tournament, which was crazy. It was awesome.
Got it. Hey, and another angle, find teammates. I mean, start working together or start streaming together. How does that apply?
Yeah, so we didn't combine both things, kind of. So we still have our teammate finder online.
Yeah.
But the focus is definitely on the challenge streaming solution. So we still have the old platform because we see that it gives value to people. That it helps people finding people to play with.
Yeah.
But it's not something that we invest a lot of work in anymore.
No, it's just there.
Yeah.
Yeah. You never know. Might actually one day completely make a fit. Yeah.
Yeah. And it also gives good traffic. Because we're even like in the Corona times, even though we didn't do anything with the platform, it still was raising or increasing in users.
Yeah.
And it's not dropping. So why should we put it down? We can just use the free traffic we have there.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, I always remind on the King days that everyone was saying Candy Crush, but a lot of people forgot about it, that they still had their old skill gaming tournaments on the back, which still made a considerable amount of money that many studios would have loved to have. So, but hey, streaming.
Yeah.
Streaming as an industry. I mean, COVID was there. Everyone got more enthusiastic about esports, watching gameplays. Obviously, the normal top 10s, for example, with Call of Duty on YouTube, normally it's the steady same top 10. Suddenly, there were new appearances because people apparently were looking for more content.
Yeah.
The consoles, all these kind of things. And it's very easy now. If my son wants to stream, he basically presses one button on his controller and checks out either YouTube or Twitch, and bam, he's online.
Yes.
It's all that simple. How now, if I would ask how many streamers are there? I mean,
a lot.
Yeah. If let me narrow it down. The professional streamers. Yeah. That do matter. I mean, then you have the 80-20 rule. You have Ninja as absolute top. I think in terms of what he makes. If it's true that he made 30 million from an exclusive contract with Mixer.
It's actually true, yeah. So yeah. Mixer paid him 30 million and Facebook Gaming now offered 60 million to stream exclusively for Facebook Gaming, but they declined. They forced Mixer to buy them out of the contract. So that was Shroud and Mick and Ninja. And Ninja got 30 million and Shroud got 10 million.
Yeah.
So and now they're free. So basically, I think for them, that was one hell of a deal that they made, that they got 30 million for just 1 year and can now choose whatever they want.
Yeah. Funny enough, I had to write a column for some online, actually Mashable, but then in the Benelux. And in the end, I want to sort of make a point. It was about racism, diversity. And so I was basically making a plea from, are the gamers now more interested in having good games than the diversity? And I didn't mean it in a negative way, but these days you have to be very nuanced. What I wanted to say is like, yeah, I think it goes without saying that you have a diversity group of people that fits society as it is, working on the games, and then they have to make awesome games. And then I moved into Microsoft and Mixer shutting down. And then I said, like, yeah, once I spoke to a guy that had very strange colors hair, and but I liked him a lot. Later on, it turned out to be Ninja. And then later on, he turned to have a contract with Mixer. But hey, even a guy with blue hair doesn't make a difference for a platform like Mixer.
Yeah.
So stay true to your own DNA. Stay true and be proud on yourself and your skin color and your religion or whatever. You don't have to be someone else. They didn't want to put the column online because it could go many ways, although I meant it in a positive way. But he couldn't actually make it happen for Mixer. All three of them actually weren't able to get Mixer. I say it's all because of community. They didn't get the community engaged. What do you think? The was it a failure? Well, why didn't it succeed? Let's put it like that.
I think the problem is that Twitch has a very positive standing in the community, because Twitch for gamers is like that's the streaming platform you have there, and that's also the thing that people say now about Facebook, for example, because Mixer said okay they merge everything to Facebook, and most people I talk to are actually like finding that funny because they say I would never stream on Facebook, and that's basically what you see. You see for Mixer, for Ninja and Shroud as well. Like they got an offer that is immensely high, and they still declined. I mean, they can do it because they already got enough money from the old contract. Yeah. But I think it's hard to just try to win the streaming war with just buying talent.
Well, hold on.
I think that's not all.
No, but then you say like they declined because they made a lot of money. My first thought was, they're still talking to Amazon, and Amazon would definitely put some money on the table too. Although they market leader, I mean, couldn't they actually be right now in talks and say, Facebook, fuck off with your 60, in the hope that he got 70, 80, 90 or 100 from Amazon?
I don't think so. Like I think that like Facebook is probably the highest offer they get.
Yeah.
You're right, they still get something from Twitch definitely if they decide to do something exclusive there. And it's also rumored that Ninja maybe might go to YouTube, for example.
Okay.
I still think that Facebook probably was the highest offer they could have gotten.
Yeah. So then Mixer stops. Mixer is Microsoft. Microsoft is a shareholder, although Bill Gates and Zuckerberg are friends. But Microsoft is a shareholder in Facebook, and therefore it went to Facebook. And also, on the other hand, there was this thing that Apple has rejected Facebook gaming app now for the fourth, fifth, sixth time or something. So I keep on saying when elephants fuck with elephants, stay out of it. But are these companies now, so are we talking Google, Apple, Amazon, are these the companies that take on, and I leave now Asia. Besides that, I mean, there are some big ones too, and it's a different culture. But for now, I mean, if you look on the Western side, are these the companies that are the main platforms for streaming, or are there any other? Because once there is a big one, I always believe there is challenge or space for a smaller one. Is there a runner up somewhere that we don't know about? Do you know?
I also don't know about any runner up at the moment, and I also think that streaming is a it's a highly dependent, like it's very dependent on network effects.
Yeah.
Because once you have the best streamers in, other good streamers will follow, and that brings viewers.
Yeah.
And that again brings the good streamers again. That's also why everybody is streaming at Twitch, because they have the most viewers and you can build the biggest community there.
Yeah,
just simple as it is.
Yeah.
So
it was community that made fit. So Microsoft had basically only Xbox where they could say, watch Ninja. But if Ninja would be on YouTube, I mean, it would be immense what YouTube could actually do to promote him. And it's the same maybe for Apple. It's definitely for Amazon. I mean, but then we can, because I don't know. I think it was community engagement that led to the failure of Mixer in the end.
It probably did. But
so where were you?
Yeah, at the time where Mixer was built, we weren't there. And
yeah.
we also see that community engagement, even in Twitch, is not where
optimal.
It could be.
Yeah.
I think they still do it the best way at the moment, also because they are in the business for the longest time. But for example, you could also see in the statistics that Facebook and YouTube were actually gaining traction within the last year compared to Twitch. For Facebook, it's a little bit surprising for me personally, but that might be because some people are still on Facebook. It's probably Asia. We also saw that
yeah.
many Philippines, for example, are on Facebook.
Southeast Asia. I was talking to EVOS Esports, and they basically were saying everyone here is on Facebook. I mean, the young ones in so Sebastian, my son, doesn't even know about Facebook. I mean, the only thing I'm doing is shameless promotion of my podcast. It's like, okay, new episode, put it on Facebook, and I don't even respond. But they said like in Asia, it's facebook.gg.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is a territory to conquer, I guess, for Twitch or Amazon, who's not there yet. So that could actually happen. So that's, I think, the only reason why they saw further growth. So
probably. So it's a little bit of, if we want to put it, it's a little bit of fake growth because we're talking about the Western market and there maybe Facebook is not growing so much. And for YouTube, you just understand that it's growing because all streamers also have YouTube accounts where they put up their highlights in a video format. So it makes sense. That's also why people are thinking that Ninja might go there because he already has, I don't know, 10 million subscribers there. So he has the community and could also use that for streaming in the same time.
Yeah. Interesting. Hey, and so then we move to Twitch and suspension. I mean, what I was just saying, it's being bullied in school was already a topic for a long time.
Yep.
And but then at least I'm standing in front of someone and saying like, hey, you're a dick. And someone starts to cry and goes to his mom and dad, and my mom and dad get a phone call, and why is Ryan not saying that my son is a dick?
Oh.
He is, daddy. Well, you can't say that. That's normal what we've had. But I mean, with normal, that happened. And parental control, you shouldn't say that to your friends. But now we have keyboard warriors, as we call them, and they're sitting in their own room or somewhere in the attic or in the basement, and we as parents have no F clue what they're saying online. I mean, I sometimes hear what is being said, and I correct. And then, but other people are saying it too. Well, I think there's the source of a lot of evil. I think influencers have a major impact on the language,
Yes.
But then if I say, oh, that's nice how I'm playing. Oh, I have a lot of fun. Ooh, that's funny. I'm boring as hell. But if I say, what a motherfucking good gameplay. Oh, man. And scream a few times. I'm thinking, what a clown. But my son apparently is like, yeah, he's really cool. It's like, huh? Why?
Yeah, and that's basically what you mentioned in the beginning about being yourself on streaming.
Yep.
And I think the more different you are, probably the easier you can build a community somehow.
Yeah.
And that goes also to negative behavior sometimes, unfortunately. Yeah. Because some streamers are being negative on purpose because they know that this brings audience faster. But I think it's a trend that, I mean, we talked to many streamers and always their main problem with streaming was being harassed, insulted, having trolls in the chat. I just think it's a very, very big problem. And you mentioned the real world as mobbing, where it's already there.
Yeah.
But now you're completely anonymous. You can say whatever the F you want.
Yeah.
Nobody can help you accounted for that. Like, there's nobody who says stop it in your real world, right? The worst that could happen is that your Twitch account gets banned. You just create a new one.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's the problem that we're facing. I think not only streaming in social media or online in general. That's also something that games itself experience, that the community is just very negative in games. I think it's a general problem where probably education is the only thing you can do, or something that's hindering you from
yeah. Keep dreaming.
From harassing, yeah. So that's it's super hard. Like you even see all these big game publishers creating a joint force to address the problem. That's just how big the problem is, that these rivals come together to try to find solutions.
Yeah. Well, I call it a lot of time political correct. I mean, I've seen with Microsoft 125 million to get more colored skin people, because that's what you want to call them. And I shouldn't say how you call them they. So I need to be very careful now. but apparently they're spending money to get a more diversity kind of employees. You know, it's coming out now. It's good that they do something. But the first thing that I thought, like, hey, you're an American-based company from original startup. Why wasn't it there? That's my first question. And second, okay, now to up to 225, you're spending 150 million. Well, this you should have made a statement. This goes beyond 225. This is going up to eternity. How long a Microsoft will exist?
Yeah.
And you will always make sure it has the right mirroring with our current society. So even in a friend of mine was actually saying, you know, you have Asians, you have the black community, you have the white community, and we're all going to live among them, amongst us, and we're going to make new kids. And in time, will there still be blank or white kids? I don't know how you should call them. them.
we don't know, and I also think like all international companies should try to be as diverse as possible, as you just mentioned, to just mirror society, because society is diverse. And I think also getting diverse backgrounds, diverse ideas is always good for a company. You mentioned why maybe Microsoft wasn't diverse at first, or why they didn't,
or not enough. Yeah,
I think that's a problem America itself still has, right? You saw it now with the outrages there, with George Floyd.
Yeah.
He was called.
Yeah.
It's crazy how racist the country still is. And I think that's, of course, a main problem. But as an international company, you should definitely try to be as diverse as possible.
Yeah. And now totally our agree. Biggest friend, our leader, our passionate believer Donald Trump is saying, like, okay, let's close everything for immigration.
Yeah.
If you need any talent right now in America, then you can't get them to the US. Bottom line, I mean, if you talk about integration, if you talk about diversity, it's also having your borders open. But I mean, now he's saying, yeah, that's not good for the employees or the workers in the US. But I think if you have accessibility to talent in other countries and you can get them to the US and that counts for every country,
yep.
Then how nice is that? Because they can, quote unquote, educate and share their experience, knowledge and network with the workers or the workforce from the US.
Yep.
And that's same for Holland, Germany, Sweden, China.
100% so, agree. Yep.
Yeah. So I don't know what they're going to vote in November. I'm definitely not political, but I'm not sure if Biden is better. But at least I'm hoping there will be actually be a third sort of some guy that stands up or a woman and basically says, you know what, I'm runner up.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah. But in terms of streaming and the future.
Yeah.
I mean, right now we're talking very much about, and I think people that are listening right now, they might actually think streaming, it's done by or watched on a computer. I'm saying actually it's a screen. It could be in the bus, train, car. It can be in your bedroom if you're a kid. But slowly, we saw that also during COVID, the US gave some householdings $1,200, I think it was. And a lot of was spent on hardware, gaming hardware, consoles. I mean, the new PS4, 5 is out. Xbox, I think the presentation, maybe I lost it, but I think it's still coming. But there are two new consoles, basically. They're becoming more an entertainment piece in the living room. So bottom line, people will watch anytime now also on a television in the living room, right? As a family together. I mean, how do you foresee the future of streaming? And then game streaming, just more.
Yeah. I also see that it's being watched more, like that the trend goes away from desktop. Like right now, still, it's very much desktop focused because some people might watch streams in between games when they play themselves. But that's exactly also why we talk about entertainment esports, because we think that the game streaming itself is entertainment on its own. And it's just like you had normal TV shows. You now have streaming that could have entertainment formats that you can watch anywhere. I don't know, maybe you're lying on the bed before sleep and watch some streams. Or you just stream it on your PS5 on the living room, like you mentioned. I definitely think that game streaming itself is an entertainment sector on its own that will stay and will grow.
But is my son completely nuts when he's actually playing on his PlayStation 4? Actually, I'm watching him now. he's actually on a PlayStation 4.
Yeah.
Most likely he will try to get a 5 anytime soon. He's now watching on his iPad Pro. What is he watching? He's actually watching This Is Why, blah, 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 joint, fancy Fortnite clip. Oh, yeah. So now he's actually playing Fortnite. He checks on Fortnite, the video, how the gameplay should be done.
Yeah.
And then in the meantime, his phone is actually streaming some music.
Yeah. I mean, it's a little bit crazy to think about it, but that's exactly where I think where this will go to. And that's also why we are working with second screen solutions as well.
Yeah.
Because if you're not on the mobile phone already, like the people definitely have the mobile phone next to them. And if they find some content maybe a little bit boring at the moment, they will just check out, I don't know, Instagram at the moment or something else, or stream music.
They have the chat, with the four of them. They're on the Instagram chat. So then I see four other faces.
Yeah,
it's like
so you basically play, watch, and do something else at the same time. So that's definitely what we see as well, where this is going to, and that's why we think this could be used to like enrich your watching experience as well. instead of just doing something that's completely unrelated to your to the stuff you watch, you could also do something on the phone that makes it more fun to watch it.
Funny, eh? I mean, so TV producers were actually coming up, and also broadcasters, like second screen, so you watch your TV program and then you can participate on your phone or iPad or whatsoever. Yeah. It never really took off. And now we're talking about gaming, as always, and it's about, how should I say it, gaming is entertainment. I always say entertainment is gaming, but it's actually gaming is entertainment. And funny enough, second screen, this is second screen. This is what broadcasters wanted to sort of get to us to use. But now actually with gaming, you play on your console or whatever, and then you have a second screen that is either learning full or sometimes also for the chat. So that could be an Instagram or FaceTime or whatever. So you have actually some kids that are also playing. And then meanwhile, you're talking about, are you going to training for soccer? Yes, you do. So very communicative. A lot of fans don't know that, but very communicative. And then, and in the meantime, also learning. I mean, learning to see other gamers play, but also staying ahead of, if you're watching a streamer, why are they watching streamers? That's a question I get a lot. And I said, well, maybe she is actually talking about latest music while they're playing games. You can learn maybe something, but you don't have to be a very good gamer. It's entertainment.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like a talk show while you're playing games. I mean, if I say that to some people of my age, they look at me, it's like, oh, there's that idiot again.
I mean, that was probably also one of the reasons why like TV second screening didn't get off that well. I think one, it was not made very good. No. Like most of the time you could do something that was completely irrelevant to whatever you watched.
Yeah.
And second is that of course, like regular TV audience is just a little older on average and maybe a little more stuck in their normal behavior watching TV and nothing else.
Yeah.
So I think definitely like in gaming you don't have these things. You also have more possibilities because everything is digital anyways. So I definitely see that this can work, especially with these entertainment streamers that you just mentioned. And also streaming in general is also like you either have these very entertaining people or you have the very good ones where you just learn something, how the game is supposed to be played. Like I think these two groups are the main motivation for streaming. And most of the time it also combines. Most of the time a person is just really good in the game, so many people watch him, and then he's also entertainment at the same time, and then grows the audience that he already has. For example, for Ninja is good in the game, but then he's also entertaining to watch, and that's why he got so famous.
Got it. Hey, what is the future beholding for Game Buddy?
The future for Game Buddy is going to be big, we see. So basically, because we are the only or the first ones that do interactive esports, we definitely see that this, like we're even wondering why nobody else did that. Because why? It's like watching a football game 90 minutes. Like you would wish to throw in a second ball sometimes, because football sometimes is so boring. And even though games and esports is way more action-packed, you still have these moments where like nothing happens and you feel a little bit bored by what you watch, especially if you're younger and you're used to having three screens at the same time. So interactive esports, especially focusing on entertainment, is something that's gonna grow big in the future, we believe.
Yeah, got it. Cool. Anything else you want to mention that I forget to ask you?
No. Actually not. I think you covered many, many topics, many interesting topics.
Yeah. I got a link for people to your LinkedIn profile.
Yeah, definitely. If you want to talk or have questions, maybe also if you want to have an entertaining and an interactive esports tournament yourself, you can always contact me. So we can see if we can do something together.
Yeah. So the link is to your LinkedIn and to Game Buddy itself. I also have a link right away to the streamers. experience it yourself, some of our streamers.
Yeah.
Looking at it, so that's fun. Ah, cool. Cool. I wanna thank you, Nicholas. Yeah, keep me posted on new updates.
I will. Thanks a lot for having me. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. Alrighty. Thanks, man.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
So that was all for today, and I hope you you liked the interview. And as said, some of the articles that I'm writing, you can find it on News and Insights on podcastgameconsultant.com. If you go to News and Insights, you can read my latest blogs. So Entertainment Software Association speaks out against Trump, the visa freeze. We have Gearbox Software suing 3D Realms. Newzoo is predicting more than 3 billion gamers by 2023. 5G gaming is the fundament for game streaming. Twitch is issuing permanent suspensions to abusers. Microsoft spends $150 million on diversity. Women in gaming speak out about sexism and harassment. I have a list of some podcasts and Mixer live streaming is dead. And some reasoning behind it. Why? Other news were also about Call of Duty Mobile. They passed the 250 million downloads in only 8 months. Deloitte has a report. Games and streaming services fight it out during Corona COVID. Digital game spending reaches 10.2 billion in May. Apple still is rejecting Facebook's gaming app. And it goes on. I got a game review of Valorant. Initial feedback of the PlayStation 5. And, oh yeah, Valorant. Is it a ripoff of Counter-Strike or not? Well, you tell me. All in all, some very nice articles for you to read. And I want to thank Chris and Nicholas for today. That was all, folks. Ciao for now.
This was all for today. Thanks so much for listening to Game Consultant. Tune in next week for a brand new episode. And remember, do share this podcast with other members of the games industry.